doing this. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And we're Just Another Movie Night. And today we are doing before and after reviews where we go see a brand new movie in the theater and give our thoughts before and after. And the beginning part is spoiler free. We're talking about a movie today that is a completely original idea that's just coming out. I think it's got a brand new director. I think his name is Tim Burton?
Yeah, I believe it's Tim Burton.
And I think this movie's called Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice.
Just Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a brand new feature, a new original IP. This is very interesting.
You're such a smart ass.
No, here we are. We're talking about the sequel to Beetlejuice, and we're going to go see it in a little bit, but let's talk. It's been like, what, 35 years?
Yeah, 36 years since the original. Jesus,
36 years. Is this something? Do you remember when there was rumors that this was going to be a movie about Beetlejuice on the beach?
I do not know about that rumor.
Yeah, that was a thing back in the day. It was called Beetlejuice on Vacation or something weird, Lord, that Tim Burton was doing.
I wonder how they're going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if it had... I don't know what the heck that movie would have been. Now that we are getting a Beetlejuice film, a sequel, finally, after all this time, would you say that you were excited that the concept of the sequel is rehashing the characters from the original?
I feel like they are going to just recycle all the original things from the first movie. I think they're going to do that for nostalgia and for fanfare.
My question, though, is were you excited for that?
Oh, was I excited?
Did you want that?
In a way.
You wanted the old characters to come back?
In a way, I want the nostalgia, yes. Sorry about that. Yeah, I do. I want the nostalgia because I think what's great about the first movie, I want it to be followed up with something equally as great. So I feel like the only way to do that is to just keep on with that flow.
Yeah, see, this is one of those properties that it could have affected a whole new storyline. Why bring up the past characters who went through an arc and that arc was satisfied? Why having to rehash them? It's odd, especially when the end of the first movie ended with the family being happy.
Yeah, it seems like they were all like living, coexisting. Well, not really. Some of them were not existing at all, but they were there, yeah, living in the house.
And Lydia was wearing bright colors and happy and dancing.
I wouldn't say she was wearing bright colors.
I thought she was wearing a red dress and stuff instead of the dark death stuff.
The red dress was the wedding scene, but at the end, she's wearing the school uniform. It's like a plaid skirt, a long plaid skirt. So she still looks like Lydia.
Doesn't she change like her whole image?
Her demeanor seems happier.
And her face and her hair. I thought they changed into more of a uplifting and not the goth. Like, mm-hmm, she had gotten past the death phase.
She still looks goth at the end, like in her own way.
Oh, okay. I remember this differently.
Yeah, no, she still looks like Lydia.
I'm okay. I kind of remember her changing at the end, and that her arc was like she had overcome the obsession with death and being depressed, and she had found like a new outlook on life.
Yeah, I feel like she did. She seemed happier, but she still was wearing, well, she was just wearing a school uniform. But she did look a little like the same.
Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of her dancing and being happy,
yeah,
kind of doesn't, to me, it looks like this movie is almost acting like none of that occurred. Like, when I saw the trailer for this, the first thing I thought was, oh, we're just resetting the characters, and now some reason they're back to that gothic tone. Like, the whole family was happy. Even her she was even sculpting. The mother was sculpting different, like different. Like she was actually making faces. She was like making Beetlejuice. It wasn't like that whole gothic tone. Even the father was like bird watching. Like everything was more going in a better direction with the whole family.
Everybody seemed happier.
Yeah.
But I think that they're going to go back to the original like gloom and doom a little bit.
Why do you think though?
Well, because they had to kill Jeffrey Jones off because of his situation.
True.
They had to.
Yeah, I'm okay with that because death, yeah. I mean, it makes sense that characters would pass away and age and time would happen. But the whole fact that the family's still there, if the ghosts had moved on, which apparently they're going to be, I guess.
But are they still there? Because it
looks like the same house and it seems to be the same.
I mean, they might actually... I don't know if we'll have to see what they say as far as like.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They might have moved out of the town.
Maybe and then, Lydia comes back to the house.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And she brings her family.
Yeah. Something like that. I mean, they had to get rid of Jeffrey Jones out of there. And they also had to get rid of the Maitlands because, like, as we saw with Gina Davis when she did an interview, why aren't the Maitlands coming back? Well, because obviously ghosts don't age. But I have an issue with that because Beetlejuice himself, I feel he has definitely changed his appearance. He's older. Michael Keaton is 71. So I think that's a little weird.
He's 71.
Yeah.
God, he looks great.
Yes, but you could tell he's aged from the original movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just curious to see what they're going to do with this. I just hope it's not too much recycling. I want a little bit of the nostalgia of the first one. Some of the things bring back a little bit, but not too much. You know, I don't want it to just be the same movie over and over.
Yeah, my biggest problem is I saw these trailers and I was the only one not excited for this movie. I don't know what it was about the trailer. It felt very like forced into trying to be the voice of the original. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it like kind of losing that edge as Tim Burton has since that original Beetlejuice. He has slowly, his style has started morphing into Hollywood style, and it feels saturated, overthought, and it lost that, like, kind of culty edge. I can't even remember the last Tim Burton movie that I really, really loved.
Mm-hmm.
Ed Wood? Is that how long it's been?
No.
I know, that's what I'm thinking, too.
No, we're missing something. I'm confused by it. But I'm sorry, before I misspoke, yeah. Michael Keaton is 73.
Wow.
Yeah, but as far as Tim Burton movies go, there's got to be something in there that we like well after Ed Wood.
I feel like maybe I know he did Big Eyes. I don't mind that film. I think it's okay.
That's right. We didn't mind that.
I think Big Fish is after that. It's good. I know people absolutely love it. I feel like his eye and his style have really de-evolved into trying to be that way and also aging. And I don't think it works so well. I feel like if he would have aged with his art, that maybe something would have evolved in it. But I feel like he's still trying to be the throwback to the thing that he was and is now.
Well, we did have an appreciation for Mars Attacks that came out after Ed Wood.
Is that really? Oh,
wow. Yeah, and we also like Sleepy Hollow.
Okay, I thought for some reason those were before.
Planet of the Apes.
Oh, that's bad. Don't mention that. Don't mention any of the ones after that.
That's the one with Mark Wahlberg. We didn't like that one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Corpse Bride, Sweeney Todd.
Oh, Sweeney Todd. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Right. So Sweeney Todd.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to end that cap right there.
Okay.
So, I mean, I take it back. I shouldn't have said that, but I do feel like there is a line of the movies like the Alice in Wonderlands and the rebooting like properties. Like I think he did a Dark Shadows movie. I can't stand any of those. And I felt like, man, it's scraping at trying to be that old thing, that old style.
Yeah.
And I saw the trailer for this and I saw like he sucks people into their cell phones and I just went, man. Like, that's really, like, it just feels off-puttingly trying. I don't know how to explain it.
I get it. You think they're trying too hard. I understand.
Like it. It just feels like, and also, it's like, every single joke is in the trailer from the original. And you're like, yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of. See, yeah. Like, the trailer kind of lured you in because it seemed like they were putting in some elements there of, like, the original movie. But see, it's really hard because trailers are very deceiving. We've already agreed on that. So if the trailer's good, you might have a bad movie. The trailer's bad, you might have a good movie. That's what we always say.
We're hoping that they show the worst aspects of the movie in the trailer. Because we both enjoy it. I remember actually you enjoyed the trailer.
I did. I was like, oh, wow, this is neat. I mean, it's a little too late, but,
yeah.
You know, let's see where they go with this. Because I really do like Jenna Ortega. I think she's cute. And who doesn't like Michael Keaton? And Catherine O'Hara, come on. So
yeah,
I'm glad they're back, and I really want to see this. I'm anxious to see where they go with this, and it's getting. I haven't read anything about reviews. Yeah,
don't know anything about it.
But it is getting a couple of people on Instagram have said I love this movie.
Okay.
So
see, I have a lot of thoughts because some people hold this movie extremely dear, the original, and I think it's good. Mm-hmm. I've never been like, oh my God, it's so groundbreaking or it's so like whatever. It's a fun film.
Oh, it's definitely fun.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. And if this movie can just be as fun, then I think it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of worried because we are hitting that ride now where people are just enjoying nostalgia again in a way that I feel like is maybe problematic for them. I don't know how to explain it. Like, you know that South Park made the Member Berries episode. And, yeah. And I think it's very relevant because we're getting to the point where the studios are just jiggling their keys at you. And you're like, yeah. Oh, my God, look at those keys. And we're just like a kitten swatting at a ball of yarn.
Yeah, see, that's like, because it's our demographic. It's our age. It's our age group that's like, wee! Because
no, because I see the new generations are also... if not worse.
Well, Beetlejuice came out in the 80s. That was like our time. We loved the 80s movies and stuff. So the only thing I could say now is I'm hoping that the newer generation will want to go back and this movie will make them want to watch the original Beetlejuice.
Well, I think the only people who are enjoying it have already loved the original. I would think.
I would think so too.
Yeah, because I think that maybe...
It is kind of a big deal for a lot of people.
We'll see. I'm fascinated. If I'm wrong with like the nostalgia being a little too in your face into the way where it feels like pandering,
yeah.
Then I'll be, you know,
See, I'm not excited. But... I'm not going in like, wee! But I hope that I come out of this like pretty happy, you know? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, God damn it. Why do I have to recycle everything? This is a piece of crap. I'm not going in excited, but I'm just kind of like, all right, I'm on this train. Let's go, you know?
Yeah.
I'm here for this.
So do you have a thought on what your score will be?
I'm going to come out with a 6, probably.
Yeah, I'm thinking it'll probably be a 6 because I do tend to lean toward the forgiving more usually, but I'm hoping it's not lower. But hey, a 6 sounds great.
And it's going to be fun. We'll see.
All right, let's go check it out.
I need you to help me save my daughter. But how do I know that you're going to keep your word?
I swear on my dead mother's soul. Yes. Bob, you and the boys stand guard. Nobody gets through. Oh. Let's go, honey.
Recognize this puss.
Never seen that chick before in my life or afterlife.
Yes.
Are you doing this?
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
I'm needed upstairs. Bob, hold down the fort. Spill your guts. Who wants to go first? All right, I will. See, I'm willing to do the work.
You're that thing from my dream.
Really more nightmare material.
Confronting the unknown, conquering your fears. There's nothing harder.
Beetlejuice!
We're back from the movies. We saw Beetlejuice. And Joe, take it away. What's your thoughts? What's your schemes? What's your thoughts and hopes and dreams?
my hopes and dreams. Well, okay. I thought this movie was fun. It was very self-indulgent. It was very over the top. But I did laugh a lot. I laughed, I think more than I should have, because it was quite ridiculous. I gotta tell you one thing, though, that bothered me. There's a couple of things that bothered me. It was ridiculous. The movie was flat out ridiculous, but I did have fun watching it. I didn't want to run out of the theater screaming or anything. But my overall first reaction is it was a fun movie. What are you going to say?
I was going to ask you, I guess a question I need to ask you is,
okay,
were you laughing because the scene was funny, or were you laughing because you couldn't believe what was happening in front of you?
I was laughing because I flat out could not believe what was happening on the screen.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, it can be both good and bad, because if you like to laugh, and I do, regardless of what the circumstances are, I think it can be a good thing. But then again, it was kind of facepalm type things happening there, where I was like, oh my God, I just put my hands over my face and I was like, what?
Yeah, I had this experience in this movie where the first 25, 30 minutes or whatever, I went, oh my God, am I really going to like this movie? This is actually pretty good. It reminds me very much of his old style of directing and cool use of models and switching from interesting camera shots and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Beetlejuice started coming into the movie. And I guess what really is not Beetlejuice himself, it's the afterlife.
Mm-hmm.
And the afterlife feels like to me, it feels like a kid's cartoon. And I don't know. There was a thing when the original came out where I thought the afterlife was really edgy humor. I always kind of took it as this really fringe humor. As a kid, you're kind of seeing all dead people and they're making jokes about death and all these things. And it kind of made a little bit of a sense in this movie. The afterlife is so, it's like the plot, it doesn't matter what's happening anymore. They just are doing things to do it. And I think I had a big problem with the two parts of this movie. I kind of liked the family stuff, which I was very surprised about.
I do agree with you. I did like the family stuff. I thought that was a nice...
I thought it was interesting, and in particular, there's a couple things in that whole plot line that I actually was enjoying, but the afterlife half, the ghost stuff, it feels like there's a plot line there that is so obvious,
mm-hmm.
that it just comes out of nowhere. It doesn't really mean anything, and when it happens, it doesn't matter. It moves on from it real quick.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you feel that they overdid it with a nostalgia factor, or they
were okay? Not as much as I thought it was going to be. Okay. It is nostalgia heavy.
It is. But
it's Tim Burton heavy.
Yeah, it was definitely Tim Burton heavy for sure.
Him referencing Friends and mm-hmm. doing little jokes and nods to things that he likes.
Yeah.
But this one went in a whole nother direction of that kind of stuff.
It did.
That took me really out of the film.
I thought that there was a lot of fun things happening here, such as the three additions to this. We have two additions, which is Justin Theroux and Willem Dafoe.
So I will say this, out of those two, well, we do have three additions, because there's also the wife character, who is almost not even
Monica Bellucci,
a part of this movie, which is odd. I thought that was going to be a bigger part of this movie, but no. Yeah, no. I will say this, out of those characters we just named, Justin Theroux was making me laugh almost every time he moved his mouth.
Okay, and you do realize that he was a cartoon version of himself. Oh, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was so over the top.
It was so ridiculous. But then same goes with Catherine O'Hara, who is channeling her Schitt's Creek character this time.
I mean, she was kind of like that in the original movie.
This one was going for those jokes, even heavier.
See, that's the thing. It's hard now.
To unsee it?
It's hard unsee it. No matter what she does or what she's in, you will always see Moira Rose because she just embodies that character so well. But she did, she was Delia Dietz in this. Like, she was still the same character.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a cross.
Yeah.
Between that. And it's hard for her to get out of doing that character that is so beloved. And I think they were going very in that direction. But I enjoyed her and I enjoyed Justin Theroux.
Yeah.
I thought they were so silly in a fun way that it fit Burton's world a little bit better. And then the other silly stuff I thought maybe was just too silly. And there is, and again, I actually have this problem with the original Beetlejuice. I always wondered why he called these Beetlejuice, because Beetlejuice is very sidelined in his own movies.
Yeah, I suppose he is. And his title
character, he's like Godzilla in the sense that he only shows up for like 15 minutes.
True. Like he is kind of like an aside. So like for the Maitlands, he was like, you know, he helped them when they needed help. And in this movie, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
He's called upon to help.
It's kind of sidelined. To me, it was like it almost like an afterthought. And his plot lines really don't make much sense. Nothing that really happens means anything in the scheme of anything.
No.
It just kind of plays out. It's just an odd film that I feel like was getting to a great thing that just barely was crossing into that realm. I honestly thought there's things in here. I was shocked. And I think we'll talk a little bit in a spoilers half of this, but I just want to say there's some stuff in here that I am shocked that they spend so much time with and I appreciated it, but then I'm shocked that another thing didn't.
Right.
So we'll get into that later. But as the movie goes, what would you, like, overall, what would you give this movie out of 10?
It's hard to not find fun in this, even though it was so ridiculous and there was a lot wrong with it. I'm just going to say that I will give it a 6 because I knew I was going to come out with a 6. It's a decent film. It's ridiculous. But I can't give it, a mediocre because there was nothing mediocre. I mean, I was literally, my mouth was open the whole time. I couldn't believe what I was seeing on the screen. It just pushed me over to that 6 because of just how shocking some of the scenes were that I was like, I can't believe they're doing this. This is outrageous. So I'm going to give it a 6.
I was hoping that you might sell me on a 6. I was hoping you were going to push me into it because I thought a lot of this movie actually, the humor might not have worked very well at all for me. And I felt like it was just so silly that I hate saying cringe, but it kind of was like, oh my God.
But did you laugh? Okay.
I laughed because like, I was almost embarrassed.
Right. It was a face palming kind of thing. Like, we were just like, oh my God.
But I did laugh because of the other characters. Yes, I was
Justin
already mentioning. Theroux
and Catherine O'Hara. And I'm sorry, but Willem Dafoe, he was ridiculous, but he made me laugh.
That's the thing with this movie is the jokes go on too long.
Yes. It was a pointless character as well on Willem Dafoe's part. And they did bring in some of that nostalgia, but they didn't oversaturate the film with the nostalgia. So that's why I'm giving it a 6, because it wasn't so ridiculous with the nostalgia where they're just doing fan service. And I gotta say, I am very shocked about what they did with Jeffrey Jones.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that later.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to get to the meat and bones of what we would give this as a review.
Okay, I'm gonna go 6.
I feel like I want to go 5, and the reason is overall, when you think about this movie, the plot does not matter. Things are happening don't really matter.
No, they don't.
And I will say that a lot of the jokes feel very reminiscent to the Family Guy jokes, where there are jokes that go on and on and on, and it's funny for like a little moment, and then when they keep going on, you start going, now I hate this.
I mean, you're kind of talking me into a five.
There are about four or five jokes, and I would say the Willem Dafoe as a character is a running joke that loses steam very quickly.
You're right about that. It was funny,
and he's only for a one. Minute. And Beetlejuice has three jokes that go on for too long.
Yeah,
and they're all questionable jokes. Like, I was more shocked that they were doing those jokes. But I feel very strange that they did do some of those jokes. But I do like, there was a thing here with Winona Ryder's character and what's going on in her life. I thought that was kind of interesting. I liked where they went with her, although I don't know if it really makes sense with what the ending of Beetlejuice accomplished for that character. I feel like it almost ruins her character in the sense that she did go through something and learned and was going forward as a different person. She mm-hmm. had like friends, and then this universe kind of like begs the question, like, oh no, she's a mess. And yeah. And I'm like, how did she get to that? It's kind of odd. I don't know.
You're definitely talking me into a five, because I mean, like, our first reactions coming out, I was like, okay, this is a fun movie and I like this and this and that and that. But now that I'm thinking about things I didn't like, they seem to outweigh
they do, right?
The good things.
It's like a 50-50 movie where there's a part of this movie that is fun. And there are some little bits here and there that are fun. But then when you look at the plot and you go, oh, that character's plot line is pointless. And this character's plot line is obvious and pointless. And then you go,
yeah.
What's the end goal of a wrap up? What is the story trying to tell me?
Well, let's talk about the spoilers really quick. Okay.
Well, yeah, so I'm leaning toward a five, but I want to say six just to give it a pass. But I feel like this movie is a five for me. But I'm gonna give it a six and just say, it's cute. It's a fine enough movie. It tells a fun little tale, and it's a good popcorn movie. It's not anything to blow my mind.
Yeah, I'm not silly. Fully talked out of the six yet, but I'm thinking. But let's, all right. So if this is the part of our show that we're going to do some spoilers, so if you don't want to be spoiled, you haven't seen the film yet, just go ahead and click off right now.
We appreciate you for listening.
Yes, and thank you for listening. Thank you.
All right, so we're gonna talk spoilers now.
Okay.
So we have to discuss Jeffrey Jones.
Jeffrey Jones,
who in real life has an entire terrible thing in his career, and he's completely ruined himself, and it's disgusting. And unfortunately, the movie has to touch on that, but they touch on it way more than I ever would think.
It was almost to me like a tribute.
Yes.
And it kind of like made me disgusted.
It's weird.
A bit, because, you know, obviously his character, they're at the funeral that's in the freaking trailer. So you know that they're at his funeral. He got killed in he was involved in a plane crash and he got eaten by a shark. Okay. That's the situation here. But they literally posted like a whole funeral for him with his photograph.
Yeah.
And
I just wanted to add to that. It was funny that they did a clean animation version of him and they just keep killing him, which is funny.
Yeah.
And then they go farther with it by constantly showing his memorial, showing his face.
Yeah.
Having his character in the afterlife, even though he can't be there. They constantly are in his memory. He's so important. He's almost a character in this film. Even if he's not actually in this movie, he's in the movie.
Yeah, it kind of was off-putting after a while. It's like, okay, like Tim Burton, you made your point. So you had the funeral. You said he's written out of the movie. Okay, that's the end of it. It should have been cut off right there at the funeral. You're donezo. Okay, you don't need to keep going on with any Jeffrey Jones nonsense. Just end it. Like,
I know he's like, he was in every one of his movies.
Yes.
Almost.
But that doesn't change the fact that he's done some criminal things.
I know, but he's like, not Tim Burton person. Must be, there has to be some kind of friendship there where he was still doing that, because there had to be a part of them where they were like, maybe we're doing too much of a tribute.
I don't think so, because, I mean, who knows what they cut out of this film, but I will say, and I know that, I mean, aside from the Jeffrey Jones almost tribute that they did, I'm going to say that the other weak link in this movie for me.
Oh.
Are we
allowed to say that? Oh, no, go ahead. I didn't know what you were going to say next.
But... Jenna Ortega.
Oh, yeah. Before we move on to that, I just want to say the thing that bothers me about the Jeffrey Jones thing is that they don't give any love to Alec Baldwin or Geanie Davis. Like, none.
No, they don't. So, they do mention that they found a loophole and moved on.
One moment of discussing them.
Like, no. You need to say a little bit more, Lydia. I mean, they...
They were like her parents.
Yeah.
They, like, raised her. And they also reference in this movie only one time that Catherine O'Hara is her stepmother. And then they had a rough relationship. And now they kind of are, like, mother-daughter.
Yeah.
But not referencing that these two ghosts raised her, like,
or helped
it's
her.
Not important, and
yeah.
Her daughter never met her, so that happened that long ago. They, mm-hmm. It's kind of, that's like a shame.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like while going overboard and kissing Jeffrey Jones's ass by having him literally a clay animation version, a newspaper clippings, mm-hmm. having speeches about him, having all the characters mention how he was great.
I mean, did they have to pay him because they used his likeness?
I mean, they went over, but that's what I'm saying. He must have. It was a bit
much.
And to not even reference the characters that actually meant something to the character. Just that one blurb about how they moved on.
Yeah, it was
and
weird.
I thought that was going to come back. I cannot believe they didn't even do anything with them.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, they had a couple of callbacks to, like, you know,
bridge. Constantly.
Yeah, but otherwise, I have to say that they overdid it with the Jeffrey Jones shit. They really did. And I'm shocked by that. Yeah.
I'm shocked that they did one, but not the ones that are important. That's what bothers me.
Right, yeah. It. Yeah, but, I agree. But
Jenna Ortega.
Jenna Ortega, I gotta tell you, I did not care much for her in this.
I thought she was fine. I have no problem with her. It's a weak... She has a very weak story in this.
Her character is very up and down because she's supposed to be this smart kid. I mean, she's a smart kid, you know. She's seems to be above all, you know, the catty nonsense, and you know, she is a smart kid. And she does stupid things in this movie. Like, you have this kid in this movie who is obviously a ghost, okay? He's a ghost, and he's using her to get back into the real world. So she would have to give up her soul for him, unknowingly, obviously. But this kid bats a freaking eyelash at her, and she's like, okay, I'm going to go through this door to the underworld with you. And she doesn't even think twice about it.
She just goes with, oh, yeah, I can show you. I can find your father. I can
find your father.
Okay.
Now, that's another problem, because why is her father there? Like, if there is a way to cross over, which we know there is, because it's called the literal soul train.
You're jumping so much, but yeah.
This is not talking trash. So I'm, you know.
I'm just saying you're jumping through so many things that are problems to talk about.
But I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to skip over.
No.
When I'm just saying that there's, like, okay, never mind.
We were talking about Jenna Ortega. Her character falls for a guy. They show, not even once, twice in this movie, she just falls for a guy. Like, the end of this movie, I guess it's a dream. I don't know what it is, but she sees a guy and she falls in love with him because he's dressed like Dracula. I was like, what? What is happening? I didn't know what this scene... I was like, am I supposed to know who that kid is?
No, we're not.
And does he look familiar to her? I don't know what's going on. And the same goes for this guy she bumps into, and he just lures her into our house. His plot line is extremely obvious.
Mm-hmm.
You know from the moment one, he's a ghost.
Yep.
I don't even think there's... I feel like it's so odd because they even show inside of his house. It's like if anybody didn't realize that he was a ghost and that was going to be the twist, you were not paying attention to films.
Right.
Like, I mean, this is just like so obvious.
They purposely don't show his mother in the kitchen and she doesn't acknowledge Jenna Ortega.
Yeah, they don't show their faces.
They don't show the father's face.
Oh, he had an accident at the paper mill and he's always been in there now.
Oh.
It's like...
Yeah, he only just sits there and watches TV now. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's
it was very obvious.
It bothers me that Jenna Ortega's character, who is established to be an actual smart kid that actually is all about peace and like helping people, and she just is like randomly not realizing that she's in jeopardy.
Yeah.
And she also is like, I hate my mom because she's fake. But the moment a kid tells her, hey, I can bring you to the afterlife.
That's like, what I'm saying.
She just goes, okay, moving on.
Yeah, she's smart. She's smart, but then she does dumb shit in this movie. Like, she follows this boy because he kissed her? Because he's a boy? Like, are you kidding me?
So odd.
But, like, why is her... I don't understand. If he promises to bring her there to see her father... Okay, well, he's there. The father is there. And I feel like, don't you feel like that the whole thing was a little bit too cartoony?
It was so silly.
With the fish all over his face.
Every time I looked at it, I couldn't take anything that was happening in the scene seriously.
Right, like, I was, like, happy for her that she got to see her father. But then I'm like, this is a joke.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? Like, why would he not, like, why would his soul not go to heaven? Why is he stuck in this, you know, purgatory or whatever? It's so stupid. Well, like, I don't get it.
Now let's talk about the main Beetlejuice storyline, because that also is just, I don't really understand it. Okay, so his multiple joke plot lines is that he starts speaking in another voice and it's dubbed and it's like in Spanish and, and it happens fucking three times.
I mean, they do a flashback of his life with Monica Bellucci.
That was kind of funny because it was very reminiscent of his love of horror films.
Yes.
But... and we kind of see who Beetlejuice was. But Beetlejuice is, like, running an office. Now, he was, like, always referred to as a kind of a, like a shyster.
Like a troublemaker.
Like a troublemaker. Yeah. And that you could, he's an ad. You can use him. But he's like a car salesman. Don't trust him.
Right.
But now we see that he's running a legit business. And the cops can go and talk to him. Like, he seems like he was always an outlaw.
Right.
And he also committed a crime and was waiting in line, and they now say that the person in that scene was actually Bob, another character.
It makes no sense.
I don't know. I really have no idea there. But his plot line about his... he got married, and he was killed by his wife, but he was not killed enough because he kills her first, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, the whole Monica Bellucci thing, it just was something thrown in there that we didn't need, because she literally uttered maybe two syllables in the whole movie, and all you see is her floating by and sucking people's souls out. It's like, okay.
And it never is really like, what does soul sucking mean? Because they're in the afterlife. Yeah, what would that do?
What would happen?
What's happening? They die?
Yeah, now, I mean, honestly, how do we...
their souls are already in limbo. Where do they go after she sucks them in? Like,
right. Where do they go? And what happens dead too. To her? Like, yeah. She's dead. So.
And then I was like, and then Beetlejuice is scared of her. But I'm like, exactly why? Because Beetlejuice seems to be all, he seems to be like a genie. He can do anything he wants. So why is he having a problem with this person?
I don't know. It makes no sense. He can do anything he wants. So he can literally throw her in, you know, to a different realm or whatever. I mean, he makes things happen. So why is he so afraid of her? Because she can suck out his soul? I mean, give me a break.
I know. And I'm like, and they act like that's a normal thing. And then we have a whole Willem Dafoe plot line where he's a cop who was like a famous person that goes and chases them. So my whole question was, who is he chasing? Because then multiple times it just keeps changing. And no one ever finds, like, we have a scene where he's interrogating this Bob character who has his mouth sewn shut, so I don't even know the purpose of that. I guess it was supposed to be funny. And then in the next shot, she's there and she sucks his soul up. And I go, what happened to Willem Dafoe?
Right.
Where is he? Wasn't he just interrogating him?
Yeah.
Do we get anywhere with that? No. Is there anything to... No.
No, he just left Bob in the room and Monica Bellucci came in and sucked his soul out.
She's just walking around killing everybody. No one can stop her, I guess, in the afterlife.
Okay, like, but what's the end result of that?
What is the end result of any of it?
Pointless character. Pointless.
And then we find out that... Now, I don't understand why some ghosts stay behind and then they obviously have to... they move on, but then the afterlife is explaining that you can get a passport to go back to the Earth as a person? Because you can trick somebody?
But you have to trade a soul for your soul. So you have to sacrifice a human being. Now, if you're... That's murder, first of all. So wouldn't you go to hell? Okay.
I don't even understand. And then there's also... if you marry a human, you some reason can stay... I don't understand any of the plot. And either one of the movies making more confusion for me. But... there's so many multiple weird plot lines with that they just keep moving on from them. Okay, done, done,
yep.
Done. Okay, that's that. That's that. And when they all come down to it, you're like, none of this really mattered at all. Like,
yeah,
all the plot lines. And when they all converge, which is in a 5-minute music video.
Oh, my God. Okay.
That is...
Justin Theroux is supposed to be marrying Winona Ryder on Halloween. He's her manager. She works as a, you know, an occultist TV show, whatever. Fine. But the fact that, first of all, why are these two even, I can't even with them too. Like, why are you even together? Like, it's stupid. The two of them. That bothered me. They didn't have any chemistry at all whatsoever.
Well, no, he was using her. He was just,
yeah.
He was drugging her and controlling her. That, like, Jenna Ortega's character says that too. I mean, at least that makes sense.
I get it, but it's like, it was weird. But
in the scheme of things, that music video at the end is so jarring. And then when every character comes into it, you're like, I cannot believe this is a thing that's happening.
I know, it went on. It was definitely a Family Guy moment.
It's absolutely welcome.
Conway, that Conway Twitty thing where they put, he puts that freaking,
or the Shapoopy.
Yeah.
It's like,
it goes on for 3 hours, that kind of thing.
And it's not an original song. They just did what Weird Al Yankovic already did with that song and changed the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they did it again with Cake Raining. It's like,
yeah, it was, that was MacArthur Park. That was
MacArthur Park.
Donna Summer song.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh,
God. I just couldn't believe it. I was like,
it was stupid. I
don't know.
We're speechless right now.
Was it funny?
No.
Like, I don't know. I'm afraid that if I saw this with a big audience, the audience would have been dying laughing and I would have been like, really? This is what we think is really funny.
Well, one huge misstep that I'm going to mention at this juncture is the Don Cornelius Soul Train. Okay.
Okay. It was cool to see that person that like the like announcing the Soul Train.
Okay.
That was cool. And the fact that it's a literal Soul Train feels like that could be funny, but then it went on for
too long.
Too long. Like, and it kept coming back.
I thought it was funny that they actually had a literal soul train
it
where
should have
people
been a second.
Were dancing, yeah. And they all looked like they were dressed in the 70s with the hair and the clothes and all that stuff. I thought that was like, okay, that's funny. It's a funny like little thing. But then it went on way too long. And also, the question that I'm having is, when you get on that train, isn't that the train to pass over?
To heaven?
Into heaven?
Maybe. Because they show hell, too.
Because why is her father still in purgatory? If he was a good person, he would have gotten on the soul train and traveled on.
But he was getting on. Oh, her father.
Her father, Jenna Ortega's
maybe
father.
There has something. We can't question all this because the whole movie, I mean, every scene, I was like, I don't think this makes sense.
No.
Like, I don't think it works in the plot line of itself. And, like, there's even a line Jenna Ortega just rambles out that feels so unreal for her to say in the moment is they're in the sandworms, like sand thing. And it, by the way, that's cool that they use the actual practical effect again, which I give them credit for at least trying to do that still.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, that's Saturn. So it must be on one of Saturn's moons. The afterlife is random. And I went, yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, it is.
It sure is. And it feels the fact that your character is saying that is just, I think you would be more terrified.
Yeah. She didn't seem scared at all.
Everything was just like, hey, how random.
Now, for somebody who throughout the whole entire film was making fun of her mother
for
seeing ghosts and saying that she was, you know, able to see the dead, she was making fun of her the whole time. Now, you're a non-believer and you're seeing all this shit. And
that's what I'm saying.
And your first comment is, this is so random.
It's so random.
Like, I have a problem with her character. I really do. Like, for a smart person, she's a dumbass. She's just dumb. I don't understand. Who did you dress as? Marie Curie for Halloween?
Yeah.
Like, and what was the book? Dostoevsky?
Yeah.
She read 3 times. Like, this is a smart kid. You know? You're doing the dumbest shit ever. Her character was so, like, just bonkers to me.
Yeah.
But overall, I will say that the, you know, two best things in the movie, I will say Justin Theroux and Catherine O'Hara.
And there's some cool set stuff.
And there are really some cool sets.
It was nice seeing Danny DeVito as a zombie. That was fun.
He showed up for fun.
It was there were silly little moments like that that I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And some practical effects, some very funny visual like gags, like the house being also in mourning, or they buried the father in the shark fin.
Yeah, he had a shark fin.
His tombstone was a shark fin. That made me laugh because the shark ate him. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
There was like little bits here and there that I was like, that's fun. I think I might like this movie a little bit. And then as things kept going on, especially with Beetlejuice himself, I don't understand him. I want to laugh at him, but I'm not sure how many of his jokes, maybe like, let me spill my guts first and his guts all shoot out at them.
But it was just
something
like
that. Maybe, you know, that's like, okay, that's fun.
Like a little kind of thing, you know, but it wasn't like a laugh. Like, he didn't make me laugh. I laughed at the other characters. I didn't really laugh at Beetlejuice.
Yeah. I don't think I did either. Like, and a lot of his dialogue, like, he multiple times he just sings in another voice.
Yeah.
And there's a part where he's just on top of the model singing, playing guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just kind of like, why are they doing this so much? Like, what? Did Beetlejuice do this in the first one? He made everybody dance and sing as a joke.
Yes, but he made them dance and sing, Delia and her friends.
But are they just suggesting because he did that in the first movie that he's obsessed with singing?
But it's done so much in this movie. It's like, why are you doing this so much? It's like, okay, we liked it for the flashback scene, but now it's getting stupid. Like, stop, you know, overplaying this. It's just, you need to stop already. It was too much. So I have talked myself into a 5.
I feel like it's a 5. I really do.
You know what? It is a 5 because there's so many stupid things going on here, but also there's a lot of fun going on here. I mean, I did not get sick of looking at anyone. I you know, usually in some of these movies that are like remakes or reboots, I'm usually like, all right, I've had it with this asshole. But I didn't have that situation here. I was pretty happy throughout the whole movie. I was like, okay, this is... It was entertaining. It was an entertaining movie, and there was beautiful set pieces and everything. But it just, there were so many silly things going on.
And how about some of the wasted silly things, like doing an entire ending that is playing the Carrie music? So that would establish the fact that there will be a hand that jumps out of something.
Right.
And scare you at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that they choose to do that, instead they have a farting baby.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean,
just like this, I'm like,
I picked it out right away because I'm a horror fan, obviously, and I said, this is the ending of Carrie, the movie Carrie from 1976, where, you know, Sue is walking to her grave and she sees the whatever, and the hand comes out. That is the exact music that he used. So I thought there was going to be something, like, you know, related to that, but nothing. It was stupid. It was a baby, like, a baby version of Beetlejuice. I'm like,
and okay. I'm like, is it funny?
But it turns out that Winona Ryder was just dreaming,
I guess. And she has like multiple wake ups. I just like, what is happening? Like, I just kept saying that. What is happening? Like, why is this happening?
Yeah, I asked myself that a couple times. That's why I have resorted to giving this movie a 5 because I just
and nothing for anybody's character gets fixed, because they set up this whole plot line where Winona Ryder is using drugs to stop seeing ghosts.
Right.
And then at the end, she's just like, I'm good. Yeah. But I'm like, you still can't get rid of the haunting ghosts that keep showing up to you.
Right.
Which is, by the way, a weird thing that the movie's suggesting, that she can see ghosts. Like, that's all ghosts.
Yeah, but now Jenna Ortega can also see ghosts.
And it's like, doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't mean anything.
Was that person that she saw outside of Dracula's castle actually Dracula? Well,
did it even actually happen? Yeah, that's funny. Did it actually even happen?
I don't know.
It, she gives birth and is it for a gag and it just keeps going. And the whole movie, I honestly think the reason I want to go 5 is because I feel like if I ever see this again, I'm going to judge it even worse.
I think so too. Like, I feel...
I'm going to feel like it's even less.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to give it a 6 because it was pretty well directed and the set pieces were really nice. But there's just so much in here that is like, okay, you need to stifle it already. Stifle it. You're going well beyond. You did it once. End it now.
Yeah. I feel like it's just kind of mediocre. It just felt that middle ground there where I don't hate it by any stretch. I don't hate it by any stretch. I also just didn't like it that much. I think it's okay. And that's why I'm thinking a 6 might be the right score for it. But I definitely think that over time, some movies grow on you. And then I think over time, some movies really go, wow, why did I like that?
Yeah.
And I feel like this is one of those movies. I glanced at IMDb after we saw it, and I just saw that everybody was giving it 9s and 8s, and I was kind of shocked. And I am not shocked because I said in the opening, I definitely think this is one of those movies that people are going to love regardless because they hold the original so dear.
Yeah.
For some reason. It's so iconic to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what would you give the original?
I mean, I do love Beetlejuice.
What did you score that movie?
I think I scored it a 7.
Yeah, I was going to say a 7.
Let me see what
it's,
I gave
it's,
it.
It's good, but it isn't like this iconic movie that demands a sequel. And so I feel a little bit right about that, going, did it need a sequel? No, because I think those characters came to a good conclusion. If anything, they're going to bring Beetlejuice back, do it with a different couple.
Yeah.
Or a different person. Don't need to have this idea that Beetlejuice is hung up on Lydia.
Yeah, and it's weird too. I mean, they put her in the same like
they
dress.
They did the whole thing again.
The whole thing, and he was wearing the same tuxedo. It's like, all right, come on. It was just a little too much. It was way too in your face. And I do give Tim Burton some kudos because he did do some things that were very fun and interesting, and there was a lot of fun here. You're right. If I just go on, are you laughing at this because it's a facepalm moment or are you laughing at it because it's genuinely funny? I'm going to say, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And that's not always a good thing, you know? So
that's how I feel too. And yeah. I feel like that sums up some old mid Family Guy episodes where you're just like, I can't, I'm kind of facepalming.
Yes.
Like I'm more just shocked by this
yeah.
than I am finding this humorous.
I think a lot of people that are going into this, like you said, are all hyped up on the nostalgia factor and the fact that they are finally making a second one, that they don't really see that there's a lot of silliness going on here. So, or I mean, then that's fine. If you want silliness, you got it, baby.
Oh, yeah. And I said that. If it gives us just the right amount of popcorn silliness, and it kind of does.
Yeah, but some of it just does not work.
It's just one of those movies that if you look under the rock, you're going to see the bugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how this movie feels. We're scratching the surface and you see that there's not much going on there.
No.
And that's how this movie feels. It feels on the surface kind of stupid fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like a steak dinner for your eyeballs.
I don't even know if I go to that far.
And then when you're done eating the steak, you just feel full and sick of it.
I love it. Let's end it on that. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you all for coming to this special occasion. But right now, we'd like a little privacy.